Welcome to the Bridge International Church, an English-speaking church located in the western suburbs of Paris. Here at the Bridge, we are committed to helping you discover God's plan for your life, relate to others, grow in your relationship with God, and experience life in the freedom of Christ. Join us as we listen to this week's message from the Bridge.
We are in week 4 of our series called Jesus Changes Everything. It's a series going through the book of Matthew. And if you haven't picked up a reading guide, those are still available at our connection point in English or in French. Our goal with this series is for you to engage with Scripture. We want you to open your Bible and read it. And if you've never read your Bible before, Matthew is a great place to start because the teachings of Jesus are very easily understandable in the book of Matthew. So if you haven't done that yet, don't be intimidated. We have a reading guide for you, and we're kind of traveling through this book together. And today we're landing in Matthew chapter 13. And if you were in church as a child, you'll recognize this story. And the good news is that since this is a story that we often tell children, if you've never been to church before, it's a very easily understandable story. So we're going to dive in Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. Matthew writes, "That same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, 'A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let him hear." So in this story here in Matthew starts to talk a little bit about the way that Jesus taught the crowds. And the very first part of this story, Matthew tells us that that Jesus told the crowd many things in parables. And we see in the story that the crowd was so big that Jesus actually had to get into a boat and push back from the shore so that everybody could hear him teach. And he began to teach in parables. And parables is just like an old fancy word that means stories. Jesus taught the crowds by using stories. And if you've ever had to do a presentation, if you do any kind of public speaking, you will know that stories are considered the most effective way of communicating information. I just finished a book about TED Talks and kind of some important principles from TED Talks and how to be a better communicator. And one thing they said was that stories are very engaging. If I get up in front of you and start showing you data sets, or I start showing you historical facts about the Bible, and I never tell you any stories about Jesus, you're going to be bored and fall asleep. And we have enough trouble with that anyway, so we got to tell stories because that's what people connect with. But Jesus models to us here that these things that seem very complicated in the kingdom of God can be made much more easily understandable by telling a story. And one thing that I struggle with sometimes is when I'm trying to share my faith with someone, when someone says, "Why do you believe in Jesus?" or "Why are you a Christian?" I can start to think that I need to have a lot of evidence or a lot of really good arguments from history to prove the existence of Jesus, when really what people are looking to engage with is your story. I mean, I can talk about why I believe in healing, and I can talk about biblical evidence of healing, or I can talk about someone I know whose body was healed by God. Stories are so powerful, and Jesus understood that his hearers, his followers, would engage really well with a story. And there's two principles here that we can pull out from the fact that Jesus even used stories. And the first thing is that Jesus responds to hunger. Jesus always responds to hunger. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. And what that means is that Jesus spoke to people in a way they could understand because they were hungry to learn something about the kingdom of God. God always honors our hunger and honors our need by teaching us in a way that we can understand. This is why Jesus often tells us to have faith like a child, because as adults, sometimes we show up and we start from skepticism and cynicism, and we like to argue and we love to be right. I love to be right. Don't we all? We love to be right. We love to argue in a way that we're right, but we often resist walking into a situation with an open heart, ready to learn and ready to receive change and correction from the Lord. So Jesus honors hunger. Jesus honors need. There have been seasons in my life where Jesus was trying to change my heart. Jesus was trying to bring correction. Maybe I was living in a way that wasn't honoring to God. Maybe I was living with unforgiveness in my heart. And always when Jesus is trying to correct me, I first start by trying to make excuses for myself or trying to find a way for the Bible to say what I want it to say instead of what it actually says. And I fight it for a while, but as soon as I open myself up to Jesus changing me, I find freedom and I find growth in my life. Jesus always honors our hunger and our need. And I really believe that we receive as much from God as we open ourselves up to receive. Jesus responds to hunger. The second thing that Jesus accomplished through using parables was he used examples that people understood. And this did two things. First of all, it made people understand that the principles of the kingdom were relevant to their everyday lives. And the other thing they realized is that they could learn things about God's kingdom from their everyday lives. So one thing I've struggled with a lot is this idea of God speaking to me. I've grown up in church my whole life, and sometimes pastors would say, oh, I was doing this, and God told me this, or God said this to me, or God spoke to me and said this. And I would just be like, I've never heard God speak. God never speaks to me. How come God speaks to you and he doesn't speak to me? Because I would wait to hear him. I wanted to hear him with my ears, or I wanted him to make very clear that he was speaking to me. But what Jesus makes clear to us when he uses parables like this is that God speaks to us through everyday situations in our lives. This is why when I preach or when Joel preaches or when Gordon preaches, we use stories from our lives because God has revealed a principle of the kingdom through something that we were just doing, like planting seeds in this story, except I wasn't planting seeds. But God takes this moment and he says, hey, in your everyday life, if you're open to hearing from God, if you're open to God teaching you something, God will speak to you through the most mundane things about your daily life. And he'll use those to cause you to grow. So in this story, Jesus uses examples of four different types of soil. And this is a really easy parable for us to understand because Jesus actually explains what he means. So he tells the parable in the first 9 verses. And then sometime later, one of the disciples says, hey, Jesus, what did that parable mean? And he explained it. So we don't have to bend over backwards to try to find hidden symbolism because Jesus himself explained what he meant. But he starts out by explaining that these four types of soil in this story, they represent our heart. They represent the circumstances of our soul, and the seed that was planted represents the word of God. It represents the truth of the message of Christ. So this is what he was drawing a metaphor about to teach us. So let's dive in and talk about these four types of soil. The first type of soil Jesus talks about is the path. And in verses 3-4, this is the first one he talks about. He starts his story and says, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. And then later in verse 19, he explains what he meant. He says, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. That is the seed sown along the path. So Jesus is talking first about seed that never took root. Now, in his physical metaphor, he's talking about a farmer going out to plant, and some of the seed falls onto the path, and the birds come along, and they eat it. It never sprouts. It never grows a root. It just goes into a bird's belly. That's all that happens. And then as he moves on, he says that this represents people who hear the message of God, and he says the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. Now, when I read this, it makes me a little bit frustrated because Jesus says twice that this represents the person who hears the word of God and doesn't understand it. Now, understanding the word of God isn't just about knowing the meaning of the words on the page. If we truly understand the word of God, it changes the way we live. It changes what's coming out of our lives. And so he's saying, first of all, these people have not understood it. They have not accepted it into their life. And it frustrates me that it would be true that someone could hear the word and not understand what it means, and the seed from God's word doesn't grow in their life. That's one reason that our number one core value at The Bridge is intentional discipleship. We don't want you to come in here on Sunday morning and we throw a bunch of scripture at you and tell you that you're sinners and you're terrible people and come to know Jesus and then send you home again. No, we want you to come in here and understand the word of God. Every time you come in here on a Sunday morning, we want you to leave feeling like you understand more about the Bible than you did when you came in. And we want you to feel like you had the opportunity to allow change to happen in your heart while you were here. It's the highest value that we have is that you will understand the word of God and you will understand your relationship with Jesus Christ better than you did when you walked in the door this morning. We want you to understand the word of God because if you don't understand it, you can't grow roots. Now the thing is, sometimes when we're coming to church or when we're around Christians, we can start to look at other people and we want what they have. Right? We want the way God is blessing them. We want their relationship with God, whatever it is. But we've never allowed God's word to grow roots in our lives. Now, I don't understand a lot about agriculture. And in fact, I have to confess to you that every seed I've ever planted, like a literal seed, has died. It's either not come up at all or it's died very quickly. In fact, a couple years ago, I was at a women's conference in a church. And you know, if you go to women's conferences, they always make you make these like dumb crafts. And so they made us plant a succulent. And I told the girl, I said, everything I plant dies. This plant is going to die if you give it to me. And she said, it's almost impossible to kill a succulent. And so I was like, great, finally I'll have a plant. I've always wanted a plant. And it died like 3 days later. Maybe mine was defective, but I don't think that's what it is. But even for me, as someone who knows nothing about agriculture, I know that what you don't plant can't grow. The seeds that you don't plant, they can't grow. It's impossible. Now, if you plant a seed, if I plant a literal physical seed into a cup of dirt, it might grow and it might not grow. It might grow and start bearing fruit and it might not, but it doesn't even have a chance to grow if we never plant the seed in the first place. What you don't plant can't grow. So if you haven't invested into yourself spiritually, you can't expect that you're going to grow. And the thing that we have to be clear about in the book of Matthew is that Jesus talks about the presence of evil. He says that the birds represent the evil one who comes along and snatches away what was sown in their heart. And he's referring to Satan. And I know that those of us who grew up in the West, we get a little like, woo, when they start talking about the presence of evil and the presence of good, and it just doesn't seem that realistic. But we cannot read the book of Matthew and deny that there is a presence of evil in the world, because Jesus is very clear about this. And Jesus talks about Satan, who is the embodiment of evil, and how spiritually he roams the earth, looking for anything he can destroy, looking for anything he can steal, looking for anything he can kill. I want you to know today that it's real. Satan is real, and he hates you. And he wants you to hate yourself. He doesn't want you to grow. As soon as God does something in your life, as soon as God plants a seed in your life, Satan's goal is to snatch that away before it has the chance to grow roots. That is his number one goal. Because if he can get it out of your life before it grows roots, he doesn't have to worry about you ever changing or understanding the voice of God or growing in your relationship with God, because the seed's not even there anymore. So you have to understand that Satan's goal is to come and take away what God is trying to do in your life. The next type of soil that Jesus talks about here is in verses 5 and 6. He talks about the rocky soil. In And Jesus says, some of the seed fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. We're going to be talking about roots a lot today. Apparently, roots are important when you talk about planting things. Verses 20 and 21, Jesus explains what he means. He says, the seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. So these are people who hear the word of God, they hear the message of Jesus, they get really excited about it, but they don't engage in a season of preparation where their roots can grow. And so as soon as something comes along that's halfway difficult, the plant withers up and it dies. Now this is why at The Bridge we talk a lot about a journey of faith. We don't want you to come in and just feel super excited and say, okay, well now I'm a Christian. And then you go home and you're like, I don't know if I really, that was just like weird in the moment. And then you come back next Sunday and you get excited and you're like, yeah, I'm going to be a Christian. And then you go back Monday and you keep living the same way you were living. We don't want you to ever make a decision about Jesus based on something emotional happening. We want you to make an informed decision to follow Jesus and become a lifelong follower of Jesus. And we've seen several people here at The Bridge who started coming and they were like, I love The Bridge, but I'm not ready to be a Christian. And we were like, cool, that's great. And they kept coming and they kept researching and they kept talking to the pastors and they kept praying about it. And eventually they said, you know what? I'm ready to become a Christian and a follower of Christ. And those people that have done that, that have engaged in that season of questioning and researching, they've been baptized and they're still followers of Jesus because they took time to put down deep roots. And maybe you're here today and there was some point in your life where you heard a really great sermon or you went to a conference with some really famous speaker and you got all excited and you were like, yeah, I'm going to do this. But you never took the time to put roots down. And because of that, you've been engaged in a shallow kind of faith. You know, in verse 6, Jesus says that when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Again, I'm not an expert on botany, but I'm pretty sure the sun is required for plants to grow. The sun is required for plants to grow, but Jesus said here, because these plants didn't have any roots, the sun actually killed them. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I've walked through a few tough things in my life. And I know some of your stories, and I know some of you guys have walked through really difficult things. And sometimes if you're not a Christian, you might look at people who are followers of Jesus and they walk through something very difficult in their lives. And you just look at them and you're like, how are you still a Christian? How can you believe in a God that would take you through that kind of stuff? How can you believe in a God that would allow that to happen to your child? How can you believe in a God that would allow that to happen in your home country? But when you have deep roots, the trials that come along, the difficult things that happen in your life, instead of killing you, they make you grow. They bring you closer to God instead of pushing you away from God. But if you have shallow roots, if you've never dug into the soil of your life, if you've never allowed Jesus to speak to you and change your heart, as soon as something comes along that's difficult, you're like, all right, God, I'm out. I'm not going to do this. When you grow deep roots, when you engage in a season of preparation, the difficult things that happen in your life can actually bring you closer to God and cause you to grow and to flourish into a beautiful thing that God can use for his glory. The third kind of soil that Jesus talks about is the thorns. In verse 7, Jesus says, other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. And then verse 22, he explains and says, the seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. Fruit is the difference here. The difference is whether or not your life is going to be a life that bears fruit. Jesus, elsewhere in Scripture, he says that people will know whether or not we're a follower of Jesus, whether we're a follower of him, by the fruit that we bear. You can't plant a lemon tree and expect figs to grow on it. And in fact, if you plant a lemon tree and figs grow on it, you don't have a lemon tree that accidentally grew figs. You have a fig tree. It's very obvious, right? Again, I'm not an expert in agriculture. It may come as a shock to you because I know these things I'm talking about. It sounds like I have a degree in it. But actually, you can tell what kind of seed you planted by the fruit that comes out of the ground. It's very simple. And Jesus says that the same thing is true in our lives. You can't grow fruit that you haven't planted. We talked a second ago and said, you can't grow what you never planted. But Jesus is saying here that it's possible for a seed to be planted, for God to begin doing a work in our lives, and for us to allow the worries of our lives and the deceitfulness of the world around us to choke that growth so that fruit never comes from it. Now, I believe that part of Jesus' intention here was to let us know that it's normal for us to struggle with worries. It's normal for us to struggle with the temptation of things around us like wealth, like the temptation of sexual freedom, like the temptation of things that the world goes, hey, this is what you really want. This is what you really want. Forget the kingdom of God stuff. Don't you want to be rich? Don't you want to be able to just like sleep with anyone you meet? So much easier. Don't you want to be able to live a life of freedom and no worries instead of worrying about that like kingdom of God type of stuff? That stuff will grow up and it will choke the work of God in your life. I know it because I've been on a path headed in that direction when I was like, yeah, I feel like I'm taking this God stuff too seriously. So I'm just going to like loosen up the edges a little bit, just like relax a little. And what happens is things start to choke the work of God in my life. And maybe it doesn't totally kill the plant, but the plant's not bearing any fruit. And what good is a harvest if you can't multiply it? What good is a harvest if it never flowers and it never produces fruit and it never produces food? The root might be there at some point. But Jesus is saying that it's possible to allow these things to choke out the work of God in our life. I think Jesus is really referring to how much we're willing to surrender to him in our lives. How much have you surrendered to God? How much do you trust? How much do you trust God's plan for your life? I struggle with this. Man, my grandmother, she was like, my grandmother and Billy Graham are up in heaven talking right now because she was a woman of God. She was a woman of prayer. She was a woman who loved God so much. Oh man, she loved Jesus. My grandmother worried like no one I have ever met. She had little Bible verses stuck all over her house about worrying. And I would always tease her and be like, don't you know the Bible tells you not to worry? And she'd be like, oh, I know, I know. So someone, even people who are really, really good Christians, even people who love Jesus a lot, we're always going to wrestle with worry. We're always going to wrestle with the deceit of the world around us. But we have to continually surrender to God. We have to continually trust God. I know that there are probably those of you who you lay awake at night because you're terrified of what's going to happen with your finances. What happens if you lose your job? What happens if your spouse decides to leave? What happens if your kids hate you when they grow up? I don't know what people with kids worry about. What happens if they come in my room another time and wake me up? Because I'm going to... Right, Joel? I bet that happens. I don't know. Because I don't have any kids, so I sleep through the night every night. It's really great. But I know that some of you lay awake at night and the worries that you have start to choke the joy that God has given you and the peace that God has given you. And we're going to talk in just a minute about what you can do about that. But I believe that some of us, we get so tired of waiting on the harvest. We get so tired of waiting for God to do in our lives what he said he was going to, that we just kind of give up and let those thorns grow all around us. And maybe that's you today and you're like, man, everything is so tangled up. I can't even imagine a way out of it. The fourth type of soil Jesus talks about here is the good soil. If I was Linda, I would say the good soil. Right, Linda? That's right. Jesus talks about the good soil. In verse 8, he says, still other seed fell on the good soil where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. And he goes on to explain it in verse 23 and says, but the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. Listen, the harvest doesn't come the next day. The harvest doesn't come the day after the seed is planted. It takes time to grow a harvest. You're going to have a season of waiting. You're going to have a season of preparation. If you're here today and you're like, you know what, I'm going to make a decision for Jesus. It's going to be great. You're not going to walk out of here and all the problems of your life are solved. I know, because I've been following Jesus for 34 years and I still have problems in my life. There are still things in my life that I believe God has planted, that God has promised me, that God has given me an expectation of, that have not yet come to harvest. And if you're here today and you're tired of waiting, I want you to know that the harvest is coming. The harvest is coming. If you've opened up your heart and you have a soft heart and you've allowed God to plant things in your heart, you can't help but have a harvest. You can't help but have a harvest. Now, once you've planted the seed, you have to nurture it. You have to make sure that the seed is in the right kind of soil. It's in the right kind of environment. You have to make sure it has the right amount of light. There's all this other stuff you can do to the soil. But you have to nurture the seed. You can't plant it and forget about it. You have to keep nurturing the seed. You have to keep it in a warm place. You have to keep the sun on it. You have to surround yourself, taking it back to the metaphor, you have to surround yourself with people who are going to help you grow. You've got to get the thorns out of your life. And if you're anything like me, if you're here and you're like, man, I've been faithful to God. I've been trying to read my Bible. I've been reading my Matthew reading guide every day. And I've cut some relationships out of my life that weren't honoring to God. And man, nothing's happening in my life. And I see these other people around me and they're growing in their faith and God is blessing them. And I want to know where my harvest is. When is my harvest going to come? The first thing you need to think about is whether or not you've allowed a seed to be planted. As I was preparing this sermon, I went back and looked at my notes from my high school botany class, which I did. I took a botany class in high school. And I found this note that reminded me that we all planted the same plant. I can't remember what it was. But everyone else's plant was growing except for mine. Like, everyone's is sprouting, and I'm like putting aspirin in the soil and putting like different chemicals, taking pH tests and everything. And I went to my teacher and I was like, this seed won't grow. Like, I've done everything. It won't grow. I don't know what to do. And she started really gently digging around in the soil, looking to see if it was sprouting the wrong way. I don't know. And she dug a little bit more. And then she started scooping the soil out and kind of filtering through it. And she said, Kelly, there's not a seed in this dirt. Where's the seed? And I was like, I put it in there. I swear I put it in there. And actually, it was in an envelope in my folder. Because that's the kind of person I was in high school. But basically, I was waiting for a harvest to come when I hadn't even planted the seed yet. So if you're here and your harvest hasn't come yet, it might be that you've not allowed a seed to be planted in your heart. But it also might be that there's something that's going on under the surface of the soil, that God is preparing something, that there's something being birthed, and you just haven't seen the results of it yet. Growth looks different for every person. If you're planting plants, and you plant a tree or something that sprouts up really fast, beans, I don't know, I don't plant things. But if you plant something that sprouts up really quickly, it's going to look different than something that has to grow really deep roots. Let me tell you something. Gordon is like totally ridiculous, because every day in the office, he brings a carrot for lunch, okay? And the other day, I'm having a meeting with Gordon and Joel, and Gordon is sitting there eating like a 4-pound carrot like it's an apple. This is like the biggest carrot I've ever seen. And he just sits there and bites chunks off of it while the rest of us are eating our bacon cheeseburgers. You can draw whatever spiritual thing you want out of that. But man, I was thinking about that carrot this morning, and I thought, root vegetables like carrots and things like that, they have to grow so deep down into the soil. And if you pull them up too soon, you're going to destroy them. But that carrot might be looking at that tree thinking, man, look how tall that tree is getting. And you can barely see anything above the soil. But things might be growing really, really deeply underground, and there might be a harvest coming in your life, and just because you can't see it yet doesn't mean God isn't doing anything in your life. You might be growing deeper roots because you know what? God has a different plan for you than he does for the person next to you. God has a different purpose for your life than he does for that person that you can't stop looking at because you're jealous of what God is doing in their life. You've got to stay focused on who God has called you to be. You've got to allow God to work in your life in a different way than he works in someone else's life. God speaks to every person differently. And if you spend your time wishing that God would speak to you the way he speaks to someone else, you're going to be so frustrated and you're going to allow those thorns to grow up and choke out what God is trying to do in your life. If you have a soft heart, if you're hungry for God, if you allow a seed to be planted, the harvest will come. I don't know when it's going to come for you, but it's going to come eventually. You see, the harvest isn't just about you. The harvest isn't about your life. When you open yourself up to allow God to do something in you and the harvest comes, the harvest is about multiplication. The harvest produces a million times more seeds than you had before. And all of a sudden, you can plant millions of fields with a harvest full of seeds. The harvest provides nourishment. The harvest changes the atmosphere, but if you don't open yourself up to allow God to plant something in your life for the harvest to come, you're going to miss what he's trying to multiply through your life. I can tell you right now that if you give God a little corner of your heart for him to plant in, you're going to have a very small harvest. God will use it, but you're going to have a small harvest. If you open yourself up for God to sow generously in your heart, you are going to reap a generous harvest, and there will be more and more to sow. See, this is what I've learned about the kingdom of God. You only get to keep what you give away in the kingdom of God. One of these days, all of us are going to be gone from this earth. We're all going to be gone, and we don't get to take anything with us except what we've given away of ourselves. The love that we invest into people, the harvest that we allow to be multiplied through ourselves, these are the things that will change eternity for people. Over the last couple of years, I've started a habit of trying to write every day. And I have a blog and I try to write. And I have seasons sometimes when I have a good idea and I don't want to write it. I don't want to publish it because I'm afraid if I get this good idea out, I'm not going to get any better ideas. And if you're a creative in here, you might know if you paint or if you dance or anything like that, you might understand the feeling of having a creative idea and feeling like if you give it away, it'll just be gone. But what I've learned is that when God requires something of you and you give it, there's more left from where you gave it away. That's how the kingdom works. The kingdom works that when you give something away of yourself, God multiplies it back into you to increase your capacity to affect other people's lives for the better. Jesus made it clear to us in the book of Matthew that stories are powerful. He used stories to teach us, and he also told us people's stories. And we can learn from that your story is powerful. My story is powerful. The stories of what God is doing in your life are powerful stories. And maybe you're here today and when you look at your life as a story, you don't like the story that your life is telling. And maybe you want to see your story change. We call this series Jesus Changes Everything because he does. Jesus changes everything. When you open your heart up to allow Jesus to do something in your life, everything changes. I can't explain it if you haven't lived through it, but everything changes. If you're here today and your story is a story of addiction, Jesus can change your story to a story of recovery and a story of freedom. If you're here today and your story is a story of abuse, Jesus can change that story to a story of healing and a story of victory. I've seen it happen in this room. I've seen Jesus change people's stories. If you're here today and your story is that you're a victim of a broken relationship, Jesus can change that to a story of restoration. I've seen it happen here. The marriages that you see at the bridge, the marriages that you're envious of, I've watched some of those marriages walk through brokenness. But Jesus changes everything. He changes the game. He doesn't play by the rules. He made the rules, and he can change your story in a heartbeat. If you're here today, breathing the same air that I'm breathing, your story is not over yet. Jesus can change your story. Jesus can restore you. Jesus can heal things in you that are beyond repair. And maybe you're here today and you're like, you know what, Kelly? My heart is too hard. I don't think Jesus can change it. I got tired of getting hurt. I got tired of people coming into my life, and I got tired of religion because I got hurt by a church. So my heart is closed off, and I don't know how to reopen it. Jesus can soften the soil of your heart today. Jesus wants you to grow. Jesus wants you to be healthy, but he's not just standing by the sideline waiting for you to do it yourself. You don't have to try to figure out how to soften your own heart. You just have to let Jesus in. You have to give him the opportunity to change your heart. I would encourage you today that if that's you, and if your heart is hardened, take a chance today. Take a chance and try opening your heart to Jesus and just see what happens. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know what? My story got all tangled up in those thorns you were talking about, and I don't know how to get out of it. God planted a seed in my heart. It started to grow, but these thorns grew up, and it's choked out the seed that God has planted in me. And I want you to know today that Jesus describes the Word of God as a sword. The Word of God is a sword, and it can cut through the thorns that have choked out the story God was trying to write with your life. Jesus can change your story today. If that's you and your story is all a mess because of the thorns you've allowed to grow up around it, I dare you today to hope that what God planted in your heart can grow again. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know what? I'm interested in Jesus. I'm interested in Christianity, but I don't know where to start. I don't know how to respond. Man, I believe that God honors hunger. I believe that God honors our need. And there have been points in my life where I've shown up and I've said, God, I don't even know how to pray. I'm totally broken, but I need you to do something in my life. God is faithful to do it because he responds to hunger and he responds to need. There have been seasons of doubt in my life. There have been seasons of crippling doubt in my life where I wasn't sure what I believed. And do you know what my prayer at that time was? I would quiet myself before God and I would say, God, I need you to make yourself real to me. If you're real, I need you to make yourself real to me. I've prayed that prayer more times than I care to admit. And you know what? He shows up every time. Because God responds to need. God responds to hunger. He doesn't respond to pride. He responds to brokenness. I would encourage you today, if you're trying to decide what you believe, ask God to make himself real to you. And if you're a Christian and you struggle with doubt, you can ask God to make himself real to you because God responds to our hunger. One of our missionaries, his name is Alexi. Alexi grew up in this church, and his parents are Yzelt and Christoph. And Alexi spent several years of his life very deep in drug addiction, and was living with his girlfriend. He was almost estranged from his parents. It was a very broken time. And there was a night when Alexi's girlfriend left him for one of his friends, and he was sitting in his apartment. He was filthy, living in the apartment of a drug addict, and he had a bag of heroin sitting right next to him, and he was absolutely at the lowest point of his life. And he saw his Bible sitting on his shelf, all dusty because he hadn't opened it in probably years. And he said he went and he took that Bible down and he opened it. And God took him straight to the verse that says, God is close to the brokenhearted. God didn't take him to a verse that said, man, you've really messed up your life and you're going to have to work really hard to get back on track. God didn't take him to a verse that said, I'm a God of wrath and I'm going to punish you. No, God took him to a verse that said, I am close to the brokenhearted, because God responds to brokenness. And if you're here today and you're broken, that is the best place you can be in, because you're in the perfect place for God to plant something new in your heart. A broken vessel is the perfect place for God to plant the seed of his word and to bring it to a harvest in your life. Would you stand with me this morning? Father, we surrender ourselves to you today. We pray, God, that a harvest would grow out of this church that would affect eternity in this city. But God, we know that it starts with each of us. God, I pray that you would soften our hearts, that you would take the rocky places and that you would turn them to soft, tender soil, ready to receive your word. Lord, make us a church of open hands and open hearts and open homes. Lord, I pray that you would heal the broken places in our hearts. Make us one, Father. We pray that you would use us to help one another grow. Help us to encourage one another. Help us to challenge one another. We thank you, God, that you have trusted us with your church. And we pray for a harvest, God. We thank you so much. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to get in touch or find out more about the Bridge International Church, please visit our website, www.thebridgeparis.com.